If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In St. Luke chapter 1, verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He won't drink wine or alcohol, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Glory to God. That's a special boy. He says, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said, "How is this going to happen? Because I'm an old man, and my wife is old as well." And the angel answering said unto him, "I'm Gabriel." Lord, have mercy. Now, you know this has been done in Genesis. When the Lord said to Sarah, "About this time next year, you're going to have a child." And what did Sarah say? Sarah said, "This ain't going to happen." And she laughed. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why your woman laugh, man? Don't you got her in check? Because if you're the head of the house, your wife shouldn't be laughing at no promises from God." But in Genesis, when Sarah didn't believe, the Lord didn't offer any signs. He just said, "Okay," and walked away. He said, "All right, you'll get it." Didn't even bother him, because God has more mercy. But Gabriel was offended, and he introduced himself. He said, "Look here, I'm Gabriel. You don't be telling me no. Brother, have you lost your mind?" He said, "I'm Gabriel." He said, "And you know what? Since you don't believe me," matter of fact, listen to how he says it. He said, "I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God." See, I'll put it to you on our turn. That would be like Pastor Aaron saying, "I'm the assistant pastor of this church. If I tell you you can do something, you can do it. And I'll deal with the pastor later. You do what I tell you, and I'll take the hit later." That's what Gabriel is saying. Gabriel's saying, "Look, you're going to have a child. I'll deal with God. You're going to have it now, because I stand in the presence of God." He said, "Now, you messed up now. You messed up." See, what you should have done was said, "Oh, thank you, Gabriel. I really appreciate it. Just accept what I give you." No, no. He says, "This ain't going to happen." Gabriel said, "Fine. Then you ain't going to talk." Now, God didn't punish Abraham and Sarah. You know why? Because there was no example. God is a just judge. He doesn't judge you without an example. God cannot condemn you unless you have a point of reference to see why you're being condemned. So why was the angel so hard on Zacharias? Because he should have remembered God's power with Abraham and Sarah. If he knew the history of his people, what he should have said was, "This is happening again, just like it happened to my mother, Sarah. This is happening." No, what did he say? "You can't do it." The angel said, "Fine, you ain't gonna talk." Why? Because I don't want you spreading that doubt. When your woman get pregnant, I don't want you spreading that doubt and blaming her for going down to the hoopty-doo room just because you can't get the job done. So I'm going to have you shut your mouth until the promise comes to pass. And it wasn't until that boy's dedication service, when they were giving him a name, that his tongue finally opened. What is God saying? That if you don't know the language of faith, he's going to keep your mouth shut until the thing is done. And then you have to confess, "Truly the Lord is on my side." You waiting for a husband. Stop getting upset. Stop talking about it. Go on, praise God. And when that man slips into your driver's seat, hallelujah. Now, he's not coming in the passenger seat, because if God knows you're not ready to relinquish the driver's seat, he ain't sending you a passenger. He's sending you a driver. When you're ready to move over, he'll be ready to fill that seat. But until then, keep your mouth shut. Let the words of my mouth. Jesus said, you speak to a mountain and tell it to move, it'll have to move. Here's my problem. Passages such as these have been interpreted into stupidity. You ever notice how people try to tell you that certain components of the Word of God are not for us, but they'll hold on to tithing and salvation? This is very evident in the field of healing. People will use all kinds of excuses as to whether or not why they can't be healed. Well, the Lord used it to slow me down because I was running too fast. And so he put me on my back so he can talk to me. Now, my parents had never had to put me on my back to talk to me. Sometimes I was on my back after they talked. But never to talk to me. Well, you know, the Bible says that chastisement comes from God. There's not one shred of biblical evidence to prove that God has ever chastised his children with sickness. In fact, every passage of healing contradicts that. When you look at that passage in Isaiah where it says that he himself took our infirmities, that's weaknesses and sicknesses. What Jesus did on the cross covered your salvation and your healing simultaneously. So if Jesus, now watch, if you are born again, does God put sin back on you?
No.
If God wants to chastise you, does he put sin on you?
No.
Well, then what makes you think he's going to put sickness on you? If Jesus died to remove both, then what makes you think God is going to put anything else back on you? So there goes that theology out the window. Sickness is the result of sin in the world. Well, God, you know, what happens? Praise God. I don't get it. You know, I'm believing God for my healing. All right. But how are you talking? Are you believing for your salvation? How many people come to the altar, leave the altar, believing for their salvation? Listen to what I'm saying. Believing for their salvation. Nobody. They come down to the altar. They go through the exercises. They go up to the follow-up room. The personal workers share with them what has happened. And what do we say to them? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, confess him out your mouth, thou shalt
be saved.
Right? So they walk away from the altar, what? Born again. Now, they don't walk out saying, I hope I'm saved. I'm struggling with whether or not I'm saved. No, we tell them, you're saved. Then why is it that after you come for healing, you're uncertain? You say, well, hold it there, Bishop. Hold it now. I got an argument for you. See, because when I walk out and you tell me I'm healed, I still got pain. Well, when you walk away from the altar, you still want to smoke. If you just purchased a pack of cigarettes, right, this morning, because you didn't know God was going to save you, and how much are they a pack now in Philadelphia?
$8.
You hear every week and you walk right into that trap. But that's okay, I know. I understand. He's a good brother. Understand. $8, right? You buy a pack at $8. Then somebody brings you to church and you get saved. You know good and well that you ain't tossing them $8 away just because you got saved. You're gonna hold on to that pack? And maybe even take a hit when the kids get on your nerves. Why? Because it calmed my nerves. Or somebody else will say, listen, I'm only smoking because it helped me lose weight. Whatever reason you struggle with that nicotine addiction, that does not remove the fact that you're saved. All you are is a sinner with a nicotine, a saint rather, with a nicotine addiction. That's it. That's all you are. You're no different than the saint with the caffeine addiction. I can't get started till I have my coffee in the morning. Lord have mercy, I'm telling you, just wait a minute, wait till I get my coffee. Let me put my coat down, I got to have my coffee. You just as bad as the person with the cigarette. God isn't sitting in heaven saying, you going to hell because you went to Dunkin' Donuts and got that Dunkachino. No, you know you're saved. Well, why is it after healing, you think you're supposed to walk away from the altar and not feel any pain? Now, God can do that, and Jesus tries to demonstrate the entire range of the healing power of God. There were some that he healed right away. Then there were some that he said, all right, I'll pray for you. Now go and present yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Then there were some that he didn't even pray for. He just said, according to your faith. Now, what do you think those lepers were saying as they were going to be presented to the priest? How do you think they're feeling as they look at the spots drying up? Jesus hadn't laid a hand on them. What did he do? Lord, have mercy. Now, here's my question. Think of the last things you said and how many of them you wish you could take back. You get on my nerves. I wish you were dead. Bang. The language of faith is not spacey. Jesus says in Mark 11, you will have what you say, but he prefaces it with, shall not doubt in his heart. Herein lies the truth. Proverbs 4:20, listen, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, the Hebrew verb to incline means to keep bending the ear until change comes. We call that the aha moment. The aha moment is when something clicks. I got it. Teachers long to see that moment in their students. There's nothing that motivates a teacher like seeing that child sit there and say, I got it.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
06315P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Pray.